Turn in your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. You know, normally we'll take a verse and that'll be our text, maybe three verses. Today, if you'll just bear with me, we'll patiently read together this chapter. There's 24 verses in it because it is a fabulous story. Then keep your Bibles open. There are a couple of other passages we have to see this morning. This passage of Scripture today is about Rahab, and our sermon today is about Rahab's remarkable testimony. Rahab's remarkable testimony. Joshua chapter 2, look at verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, most people are familiar with the occupation of a harlot, but maybe not all. She was a prostitute. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. And hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit from thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." Well, it was a fabulous, fabulous passage of Scripture there. But very simply what happened is Rahab said to those spies, said, hey, I know you guys are going to come here, and I know the Lord is going to deliver this city in your hands. I want my family spared. And they said, okay, we'll do that. Our life for yours. In other words, it's kind of like cross my heart and hope to die. You know, we'll die if we don't keep this oath. But we're going to be blameless in this deal. We cannot control what happens to you. You have to stay in the house. If you stay in the house, you live. If anybody comes out, they die, and we're guiltless. And hang this scarlet thread so everybody knows where your house is, and we'll see you later. And so she put her own life in jeopardy with the king by covering for these guys, and then put her own life in the hands of the Lord by then trusting these men to spare her and her family when they came in for the attack. Well, let's go to the Lord and see what is so remarkable about the testimony of Rahab. And when we do, we're going to pray for a couple of other pastors in the country today. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to pray this morning. Today we lift up Jay Dempsey at the Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church in British Columbia and Chris Staub at Silver Lane Baptist Church in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Father, bless these men with power as they preach and wisdom to know exactly how they should pastor their churches. And I pray you'll give them good families in the church who will labor in the harvest with them. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that they will have a good reward for their labor among the folks with whom they minister. I pray that young people grow up in their churches to be well-trained and to love you and to live for you. And Father, today I pray that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit and allow me to be able to preach these words the way you want them preached. And I pray for these souls that are here, Father, that our saints will be edified by the preaching of the Scripture. And I also pray for anyone here today who is lost, that through the preaching of the Word of God, he or she may realize her personal need or his personal need of Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, we can't do that work. It's impossible with men, but with God all things are possible. We pray that you will answer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love not the story, but Rahab the person. The story is good in itself, but when you talk about the story of Rahab, it's kind of like somebody wrote a fiction and wrote a little story or a little novel about these circumstances. This isn't a story, this is history. And I love this history, but I love this woman particularly because she recognized right away she had an option. Now, you know, her testimony is fabulous here. She has a remarkable testimony, and we are going to just look at four aspects of her testimony today, only four. There are other things that could be said, but to a point we overwhelm the things that should be said about Rahab. The first thing that we want to notice is her testimony of faith. Her testimony of faith. You know what faith is? By definition, according to the Bible, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Today, I am telling you about Jesus Christ, but you've never seen him. You've read about him, but the story of Jesus Christ and so many of the things you have read happened nearly 2,000 years ago. And yet you believe those things, and if he came walking in the door right now and showed you himself, it would not surprise you in the least. As a matter of fact, your faith is so strong, you fully expect him to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and cause you to rise with those that have already died in Christ. I tell you about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't even find that. I tell you about the things that he said that are recorded in the Scripture, and you believe those things. Faith is not believing something so that you manifest it into reality. That's the New Age thing. I'm going to believe this so hard that I'm going to win my sporting competition. I'm not trying to manifest anything into reality. Jesus Christ is reality. And to preach about him and for you to believe the things that are spoken is faith. And Rahab had a remarkable testimony of faith. Look at verse 9 again. She believed in the Lord. She said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. In other words, you're not going to get this by your power. The Lord's going to give this to you. Your terror has fallen upon us. Well, these were formerly slaves. Most of these kids that are getting ready to go into the promised land were raised in the wilderness, a bunch of nomads. What's that to be afraid of? Jericho is a walled up city. They have all kinds of armament to protect themselves. She says, your terror has fallen upon us. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. You know what? Moses performed miracle after miracle after miracle in front of Pharaoh, and he never did believe God. She just heard about it and believed him. I mean, look down here at verse 11, right in the middle of the verse. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She said, you know something I know about your God? We got gods here too. We ain't got gods like you guys got. Your God is the God of the heaven, and your God is the God of the earth. That's faith. Now consider her occupation. Generally speaking, women in her occupation are not noted as women of character. They are characters, but not women of character. Not generally considered to be religious women. Not women who would normally give a thought about the things of God. The Bible says an adulterous woman wipeth her mouth and saith, I do no wrong. But that woman was under conviction, and she knew that those people, there are just two of them that came in there as spies, representing the million that are outside there on the other, you know, on the other side of the Jordan River. That's God. That's a remarkable faith. Not only that, if she knew those guys were going to come in, have you ever read about what it was like for a city to be besieged by an army and then overtaken? You ever read any of that in history? And you say, yeah, I did, but I slept through history class. Let me tell you something. They starve them out. Disease and pestilence happens inside of the wall. They have battering rams and fire. They have bows and arrows. They have men scaling walls. And listen, there is no conscious thought about, oh, I heard about you. Yeah, you're Rahab. We saw a picture. They didn't have pictures back in the day. These spies told us, oh yeah, hands off of you. No, man, it is chaotic bloodshed. And this woman had enough faith to believe in the process of a siege and the chaos of war, she and her family could be saved. Really? Look at this in verse 12. She said, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, you will show me kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father and my mother. She believed she could be saved. And that she actually needed to be saved. Now, you see what's going on here? You're seeing in Rahab a pattern of salvation in the New Testament. You know why there are people today that don't get saved? You talk to them and they say, well, I don't even believe in God. I'm an atheist or an agnostic. You know, all you're telling somebody is that you're a fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If I didn't believe in God, I wouldn't tell you. Said a man that keeps his mouth shut is accounted a wise man. It's when he opens his mouth that you find out he's a fool. She believed in the Lord. You have to believe in the Lord. Then she believed she could be saved. And do you know something? When somebody comes to give you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and they tell you you can be saved, you ought to believe that. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And may I tell you something? I'm a living testimony. That works. She believed that. That's faith. Look in verse 14. She believed their words. Verse 14, the men answered her, our life for yours if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. She believed that. She believed that they would actually spare her life in that siege and war. And do you know something? When I come to you as a preacher and I say to you, if you will put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You ought to put some stock in that. You ought to say to yourself, you know something? That's not exactly the religion that I grew up in. Well, may I tell you something? That's not the religion that Rahab grew up in either. But it sounds like that man knows what he's talking about, and I can read for myself in the Scripture that what he is saying is true. She believed their words. You know why, when I talk to somebody about the Lord, and they look at that and they say, oh, that sounds pretty interesting and all that, but they don't get saved, you know what the problem is? They don't really believe what I said. If you really believed it, and you thought it to be true, why not go ahead and get saved? Not only that, she believed that scarlet thread was enough to spare her. Remember when they said, hang that scarlet thread out the window, and when we come back, we'll save you? And so she lets them down the wall by ropes. You understand, her house was on the wall. So when the pursuers went out of the gate and they shut the gate, the two spies could still exit because she was like that window right there. She was on the wall. She took a rope and put it out there, and they climbed down, and then she hangs that scarlet thread out there. When they come back, everybody knows where Rahab's house is. What color is scarlet? It's red. What color is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's red. And you know what washes away sins? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing a song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isn't that something? The Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, watch it, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My faith is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a solid rock upon which I stand. Listen, let me just give you the implication on this, and then we'll move on in the message. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is what God sees applied to your sin that allows you to go to heaven when you die. It's not something we have to drink in a communion service, although we have a representation of that. It is something that is applied by faith when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, very simply, there is an exchange that takes place when you get saved. You simply exchange your sin for Christ's righteousness. That's what happens in repentance. You say to Jesus Christ, I'm not righteous enough to pass your judgment. Here, take my sin, I'll take your righteousness, and now I have enough righteousness to pass the judgment of God. And you know what seals that exchange? The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said to the elders at Ephesus, he said, take heed over the church of God, over the flock of God, take heed unto yourselves and over the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. She put some faith in that scarlet thread, and we put our faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And when you take our red sins and put them under the red blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they disappear. You can't see red under red. They're gone. You know what? She believed all that. You say, well, how do you know that Rahab had such a remarkable testimony of faith? Am I to take your word for that? No. So I said, keep your Bible open. Put your fingers right where you are in Joshua and head to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. These are the heroes of the faith. That's what we call them. I don't know if that's what you want to call them, but heroes of the faith. And look at this thing here, Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, we're talking in verse 4 about Abel, and verse 5 about Enoch, and verse 7 about Noah, verse 8 about Abraham. These are some of the big shots of the Old Testament. And you come reading down there, and you read about Sarah and Moses and all these guys, and then you get down to verse 31, and guess what you read? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Ooh, she had such a remarkable testimony of faith. God said, I'm going to take the testimony of that prostitute and stick it right in the middle of a testimony with Noah, Abraham, Abel, and Enoch. But that is some kind of testimony of faith. And the Bible says she perished not. We're going to actually see that here in just a second. Then those walls came down in Jericho. She and her family were spared. May I tell you something? If you will put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, you will be spared. You will not perish. The Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Be good to follow the pattern of Rahab, wouldn't it? But that's not all. Notice, first of all, her remarkable testimony of faith, but then notice this, her remarkable testimony of assurance. Her remarkable testimony of assurance. You know, one of the things that's so difficult for me in the ministry is a person says, oh yes, I was saved, but I'm not sure that I am now. What did you do? Save yourself? That now you're concerned you might have not been able to save yourself? If it's Jesus Christ that saved you, don't you think a man that raised from the dead is strong enough to keep you saved once you get saved? Rahab didn't have any doubts about this. She didn't doubt her salvation. Whenever she put her confidence in this, she then went about doing what was told. Look in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, she had a remarkable testimony of faith, but then she had a remarkable testimony of assurance. Look at this. These guys come in. Y'all know how Jericho got destroyed, most of you, but I'll just tell you real quickly. It only took 7 days. 6 days they walked around the city one time each day. Boom, boom, boom. The whole group. Can you imagine a million people going around your city? Nobody saying a word. All right? They all go back to the camp. Nobody gets to say a word. You know, it wasn't a Baptist church. 7th day, go around the 7 times, shout, walls go down, every wall fell. Where was her house? It was on the wall. Every wall fell, but that little section of wall where Rahab's house was, with a little scarlet thread. They fought all these guys. She was totally protected as long as they stayed in the house. Listen, they said, whoever's in that house with you, that stays in that house with you, will spare. But if they come out of that house, they're going to die, and that's not our fault. That's yours for not staying in the house. Joshua chapter 6, look at verse 21. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Let me ask you something. Here you are, the war starts, they're all there, and you're in there like that. And you look out the window, and there they all go. You think we ought to stay in here? Maybe you ought to lower us down the rope like you lowered the two spies and let us get out of here. Next day, next day, next day. And then all of a sudden, can you imagine what kind of shaking was taking place when all the walls came down, but this house is still standing? If somebody in there would want to run out, she said, don't do it. These men said, stay in the house and you'll be fine. That takes assurance. It says, you want assurance of salvation? You put your faith in Jesus Christ and stay in Christ, you'll be fine. She had enough assurance to go out and tell her family. Now, I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy, and after all, you're probably going to hold my occupation against me, but I would like to tell you that if you come to my house and stay in my house, when these guys come to attack, you'll be spared. You know something? You got to really believe what you believe to be able to convince somebody else to go along with you. That's assurance. And if you're here today and you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and the shed blood has been applied to your sins, stand on that. Like we sang in the song, standing on the promises. You don't have to worry about Jesus Christ not keeping His end of the bargain. What He said He will do, He does. Count on that. Absolutely. Absolutely. But then notice this. Not only her testimony of faith and her remarkable testimony of assurance, but notice her remarkable testimony of compassion. Her remarkable testimony of compassion. You say, what do you mean? She didn't keep it all to herself. Her family wasn't there with her when she made that deal with the spies. You know what? When she made that deal with the spies, she didn't say, save me. I'm saving you. You save me. She said, show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they have and deliver our lives from death. That is a remarkable testimony of compassion. You say, what do you mean? Because some of you have been saved in here for a pretty good long time and you don't have anybody else that's going to heaven as a result of your testimony. And the only reason that that could possibly be so is you don't care enough. Now that you're in, thank God I got my covered. If it's good, let me ask you something. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the glorious gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? I do. When's that going to happen? December the 21st, 2012? We missed that one, didn't we? Yep. When's that going to happen? You don't know. I think every time I come here now, somebody comes up to me. It happened again today and said, you know what? I just have to believe Jesus is coming soon. Do you believe that? I believe that, but I've been believing that for the last 25 years. But that's still pretty soon when you consider we've been here 6,000. And that He made that promise a couple thousand years ago. That's pretty soon. Yeah, I believe He's coming soon. How come I don't have more compassion on my neighbors to go down there and kind of agitate them about this? Let me ask you something. You think that Rahab could have gone to her family with the kind of occupation she was into and just say, hey, Mom and Dad, how y'all doing? Y'all want to come over to my house for Thanksgiving this year? You know what she'd been doing in that house. No, she was probably the off-scouring of her family. But she had enough compassion on Mom and Dad and brothers and sisters and what they had to at least tell them, if you will come to my house when the war starts, you will live. That's a remarkable testimony of compassion. You say, preacher, you're kind of getting under my skin. Maybe we ought to stay there a while. Maybe we ought to stay there a while until the convicting power of the Spirit of God gets under my skin more and gets under your skin more until we start getting some of Rahab's remarkable testimony of compassion for somebody else besides ourselves. This is a selfish society, but that's not contrary to human nature. We have a tendency to be selfish. Don't you think there's somebody else that ought to be in heaven with you if Jesus is coming soon and those that have not obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are destroyed? You agree with that? I agree with that. And I need to be encouraged by Rahab's testimony to do the same thing that I'm encouraging you to do. We need to go tell somebody else soon that Jesus is coming and they can be saved. Do you know something I've realized? People still get saved when they hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that because we've had people that have gotten saved recently. I know there are people that will give you a hard time. Jesus freak. You expect me to believe that nonsense? Bam, shut the door. I don't want to hear that stuff. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th of this coming week when we can sit down with people who are lost and tell them Jesus is coming, but there's a way out. It takes a little compassion. Let me ask you something, and then we'll move on. Tell me if you can see a difference in this. Let me get a volunteer up here real quick. All right, Ryan, come on up here. Thank you. This is my little gospel track for 10. Hey, how you doing? Okay, you know, you can be saved. You can trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. Go to hell if you don't. Do you want to get saved? Okay, see you later. Well, come back and say, thank God I did my part. I gave this guy the gospel. Okay? I need another volunteer. Thank you, Zach. Come on. People are waiting. I talked about steaks and things like that in Sunday school. Man, some of these people hadn't eaten in an hour and a half. No. That's what most of us do, you know. Zach, I need you to know something that's true. Jesus Christ died for you. He did that because you're a sinner on your way to hell, can't save yourself. And if you will trust Him as your Savior, He'll take you to heaven. Not only that, but He will put Himself inside of you and help you. And I want you to know something. I'm concerned for your soul. And I don't want to see you go to hell. I'd love to see you get saved. If there's any way I could help in that, I'd love to have the opportunity. Okay? Is there any difference? We do this. Are you trying? Read about Jesus. Amen. Okay. Woo! I feel good about myself. I gave somebody the gospel today. Well, there's nothing wrong with giving them tracts. But there's something wrong with giving them a tract if compassion would have led you to give them the gospel. And she had compassion. Do you think she had to do a little bit of persuading to convince them to come down to her house? I think so. She put that aside and let that happen. We've got to follow her testimony. Her testimony of faith, her remarkable testimony of assurance, and her remarkable testimony of compassion. But that's not all. There's one other thing. Notice her remarkable testimony of change. The Bible told us in Hebrews chapter 11, the harlot Rahab believed and perished not. Joshua said to the spies, go to the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman. And so as far as you and I are concerned, if you haven't read your whole Bible, you think that's the end of the story. Thank God she got saved. Thank God her father and mother and brothers and sisters and all that they had were spared. Thank God she was able to go out of the camp with the Jews. What else happened? May I tell you something? God changed her life. She didn't remain a prostitute and she didn't remain an outcast. You know what the Bible told the Jews to do in Deuteronomy under the law with a woman who had conducted her life the way that Rahab had conducted her life? They were to kill her. But after Rahab had put her faith in the Lord God and the words those men had said and in that scarlet thread representative of the blood of the Lord, Jesus Christ, God said, I'm not going to hold your past against you. I'm going to give you something new to do. I'm going to change your life. And may I tell you something? If you're here today and you got saved, it doesn't make any difference what you were before you got saved. God is here to change your life. You know what? It's hard for me in the ministry. One of the hardest things, this part of the ministry is hard for me. People who are stuck in what they were. Yeah, but preacher, you just don't know where I came from. You just don't know what I've been through. It doesn't make any difference to God. What concerns God is today. And what concerns God is what you do with today that prepares you for what He wants you to do tomorrow. Rahab changed. Look in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Though she is known as the harlot Rahab, that all changed when she went out the camp, when she got out of Jericho, when she got with God Almighty. God made her a new woman. Matthew chapter 1, you say, I don't like genealogies. They are so boring. I don't care whose great-grandmother begat whom. I love genealogies when they include a story like this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac. Oh, I can't stand that word, begat. So I don't read a King James Bible, begat, begot. All it means is, that's his boy. By birth. And Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Ezra, and Ezra begat him. Aren't you loving this? So inspirational. Aaron begat Amminadab, Amminadab begat Nahshon, Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Say it spelled differently, same woman. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. God took that harlot and turned her into the great-great-grandmother of David the king, a man after God's own heart. What a change! Of all the people in the world that could have been chosen by God to be the great-great-grandmother of the greatest king that that Israel ever had, said, I want that woman right there because of her faith in me. I don't care what she did before. I want her for what she can do for me now. I tell you what, the changed life in Christianity, people say, you get saved and you'll get out of hell, but that's a long time from now. I want to get saved and changed today. I don't want to be what I was before I was saved. I want to be what God wants me to be. And God made her such a wonderful woman. Listen, as Christians, you need to live the changed life. You need to let God do in you what He wants to do in you. His plans for you are so far greater than anything you could ever imagine. Rahab never in a million years would have figured this was her lot in life. But God knew. She was no longer what she had been before she was saved. And you know what she had to do in order to make that change? She had to leave the old life. Listen, the things you did before you got saved that put you in that ditch, quit those things. That's not who you are. They don't belong to a child of God. Let Him build you into what He wants you to be, and that old life will disappear. Listen. I love Rahab because she had no chance in life. And God said, I'm going to do something in your life that nobody else can do. I look at my own life when I look in the mirror and I said, there's no reason in the world why you ought to be preaching today. But God said, I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you something you couldn't have made yourself. And I'm not going to hold your past against you. It's under the blood. Now stand here today in the shadow of Rahab and say, thank God for a changed life. Listen. I don't know where you are when you came here today, but listen, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're doubting your salvation, you need to walk in assurance. Jesus will take care of His promises. If you're here today and you've kept it all to yourself, go tell somebody else. Don't keep it all to yourself. And if you're hung in your past, let God change your life. And be Rahab, the great-great-grandmother of David, not Rahab, the harlot. Amen? Father, I'm so thankful today for the testimony of Rahab. What a fabulous, fabulous person in the Bible. Thank you so much for sparing her. Thank you so much for including her testimony in the Bible. I ask you please, Father, that may the things that happen in her life minister to these that are gathered here today. It may very well be we have somebody with us today who is lost. Save them, please, Lord. It may very well be that we have somebody here afraid to witness. Look, it can't be worse than Rahab. I pray you'll encourage them to witness. And it may very well be that we have somebody that just can't believe God would make them into something so far and drastically different than what they were before they got saved. But I know you can. I know you will if they'll let you. Father, I pray you'll have your perfect work in what we're doing here today. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I simply ask you this. Listen, if you're here today without Christ, you know it. The Holy Spirit has made it plain. You know what I'd really love for you to do? I would love for you to give me the opportunity to lead you to Jesus Christ through the Bible. Right after this service. So how do I do that? Just when everybody's heading south, west out the doors, you just turn around and come up this way and say, preacher, I want to get saved. And we'll show you from the Bible how to receive Christ that quick. Remember, if you're here today without Christ and you need to be saved, that quick, you can be saved. Here today and you're hung. You don't want to leave here just thinking about this message. What you want to do is you want to pray diligently to God during this invitation that He will change your life and that you'll let Him do it. And if you're still hung up on letting somebody else know about Christ, ask Him to give you the courage today before you leave and the compassion of Rahab to go tell somebody else about Christ. In Jesus' name I pray that this will happen during our invitation. Amen.